Well, God bless you. Good morning. Great to be with the believers face to face, some of you, and folks that have called in on the conference call line. Always great to fellowship with the saints. People are special. God's people are really special. I've been thinking about friends through the years. I've been able to live a number of years so far in my life, and I've had the privilege of knowing a lot of people and having a lot of good friends. And some of them are real special friends, close, special friends. And what I want to share with you out of God's Word is a special friend. That's what I'm titling this teaching, a special friend. And there's nothing like having someone that has your back, that will be there for you when you have anything going on, good or bad. Now, in the Bible, there's a particular Greek word that I was looking at, and the Greek word is parakletos. And now, that's not an exotic bird or anything, okay? This is a particular Greek word. In fact, there's a pair of them, a parakletos and parakletos. And they are the same, they have the same definition, but they're used in different parts of speech, okay? So I want to share these words with you, connect them to someone being a special friend. And I think you'll see this come together here as I move along with this. So parakletos means a summons to one side. The simple definition in the Greek, if you looked into a Greek dictionary for this particular word, is someone that would come to your side and help you, be there for you. And that's where I get a special friend would do that. It goes on to be defined as to bring aid or comfort, to exhort, to smooth over. In Greek literature, it is used to summons aid and calling a legal advisor. We've got a legal advisor with us right now. Bob McCall is an attorney. So, boy, if we have anything going on that's connected with the laws of the land, he's the one I want next to me. So this is this particular word, parakletos. Now, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew. All right, so they took the Old Testament Hebrew and they translated it into the Greek language, and that's what the Septuagint is. And they use the word, the Greek word comes up, that talks about Job's three friends. You know the story of Job and his three friends? I think they call them miserable comforters. Well, that's the word that's used there for those three friends. Now, the other word, parakletos, is one who goes to the aid that comforts, that encourages, exhorts, and to help. So just different parts of speech, same definition. This is used in a court of justice. You'll see this in the Greek literature pertaining to someone that brings legal assistance. So, here we have a technical definition that I just shared with you of these Greek words. But to me, the simple definition for me is a special friend that's there for you when you have need to provide aid. And what is a friend? A special friend is somebody, when you make a fool of yourself, he doesn't think it is a permanent situation. A special friend is someone who is there when the good times aren't. A special friend is someone who comes in when the world walks out. So nothing like having a special friend. And along these lines, there's an interesting story share with you. And this is a situation that occurred where a person was out in the middle of the ocean on a boat, solo sailing. The boat sinks, capsizes. He's in the water, but he got the SOS out. The helicopter shows up, finds him in the water, but could not rescue him under the circumstances. So he summoned the nearest ship that would come and retrieve him. And that happened. And this ship went all the way out of its way, changed its course to come and save this man's life. The name of the ship was the USS Comforter.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Came to his side to help him out. So, you know, our Heavenly Father communicates to us on how wonderful He is and how He comes to take care of us and to bless us. And there's a verse that I don't remember ever seeing before. I'm sure I read over it. It's in Psalms 27:10 that really communicates God's heart of being a special friend to us. You know, we heard in the manifestations about searching the scriptures, and there's many pearls to be found. And this is one that hit me that I just don't remember seeing before. But what I'm going to share with you is from the ESV, pretty similar to the King James, if you have the King James. When my father and my mother forsake me. Now, just think of that first. Can you imagine your father and mother forsaking you? I mean, that just does not happen. But if it does happen, what does the rest of the verse say? Then the Lord will take me in. You know, the most closest persons in your life are your parents. And if they kick you out, who's going to take you in?
God
will. The Lord will. So our Heavenly Father is described with these wonderful words of being a special friend. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn there. Chapter 1, right in the beginning of this section of scriptures, Corinthians tends to be a book that's in the reproof mode, and reproof and correction. And right in the beginning, God sets who He really is. And these words, these Greek words we've been looking at, are used a bunch of times in these verses, from verse 3 to 6, and I think even verse 7 has it. We're going to read verse 3 first. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of how much comfort?
All comfort.
And there's that paraclesis. He's always there by our side to help us, to give us aid. Verse 4, who comforteth us, there's another Greek word used, different parts of speech here, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Is there a lot of comfort in that verse or what? That's a figure of speech, using that word over and over again. But we can be comforted by God, and that allows us to comfort our brothers and sisters too. Amazing verse there. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, and that's the same Greek word. For some reason, I'm reading the King James, they use the word consolation. Also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, your encouragement, your comfort, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. So, God is the God of all comfort, and we can trust in Him. We can... any situation comes up, we know that He will be there for us. So we know He's extremely capable of coming to aid for our lives and anybody else that calls upon Him. Well, we see that God has this quality. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And this is, we'll look at where Parakletos is used in 1 John 2, 1. We see this beautiful quality of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you. Now, isn't it neat how God just, he calls us as little children, you know, little special ones. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So who's going to stand before the Father for us if we get off the ball?
Jesus Christ
the righteous. It could have just said Jesus Christ, but it says Jesus Christ the righteous, just making sure we know he is the right one to be there for us. So isn't that wonderful? When you think about our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and look at the qualities that they exhibit to be so loving toward us and being so special. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, we see this word used as well. And it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. There's that consolation. You know how we console people? We come to their side to help them, right? That's kind of where that word comes from. We don't use it very much in our current language, culture. But here we have been given an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. So we are certainly a blessed people. Now, where I want to go next is in the Gospel of John. And this is where I want to really focus in. And I want you to see something here that I guess this is kind of a slant of understanding of the gift of Holy Spirit that we have in us. We are born again of God's Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. We have this Spirit of God in us. And what is the characteristic of that Spirit? You know, we think about, okay, I've got Holy Spirit in me. Okay, what does that mean? You know, who is that? What happens with that? Now, of course, we know there's 9 manifestations of the Spirit, and we want to use those and operate those. But let's take a look at some of the qualities of this Holy Spirit that abides within. Now, we're reading in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and this is where Jesus is teaching about this gift of Holy Spirit that's going to come after he pays the ultimate price and it's made available. Of course, we know it first came on the day of Pentecost. So 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's pretty great expectations we can have. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what?
Comforter.
This is how this gift of Holy Spirit is described. This is what Jesus said to his apostles to communicate what the Spirit would be like. Now, what was Jesus Christ to them? I mean, he was everything to them, right? He was there for them. And yet, here, he's going to be gone, but he says, but a comforter is going to come. Something else is going to come that will that he may abide with you how long?
Forever.
So what a great expectations. There's a he's talking about the Comforter. And to their mind, they're thinking, well, this is something that comes to by my side to come to my aid, to help me. And in my mind, a special friend. Even the Spirit of Truth. Okay, here's another characteristic of this Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall, in the future, be where?
In
you. Now, the disciples had the experience of having Holy Spirit in them when Jesus sent them out to go witnessing. Well, he put on them the Holy Spirit. They had the power of Holy Spirit in them to do all the great work. And that's what he's talking about. You've experienced this Spirit with you. Now it's going to be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And of course we know in Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, there's so many great scriptures that describe what it is to have Holy Spirit in you. And here he's communicating to his apostles and communicating in a way that they could understand. And boy, you're going to have a special friend with you that's going to be by your side, that's going to help you, the Spirit of Truth. And he's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You know, that's why we say, it's God in Christ in you. Isn't that neat? Let's go to 25, verse 25. So later on in that chapter here, we go down a few verses to 14:25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm here with you now. I'm going to be gone pretty soon. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Pneuma Hagion, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So right there we know who the Comforter is. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be able to work within us in a great, wonderful way. You know, I think sometimes people, they think about, okay, I got Holy Spirit in me, and they almost over-spiritualize it. What does that mean? Well, that what it means, we have a Comforter within us. We have a friend, a special friend with us. So let's realize that. Let's communicate with that. Let's receive from that Holy Spirit. God communicates to us via that Spirit. And we don't have to wait for every Sunday to hear from God. We can hear from him all the time because we have his Spirit in us. We have that special friend, the gift of Holy Spirit in us. Chapter 15:26, just a few more scriptures to nail this one down. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then again in chapter 16, he brings it up again, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter, one who provides aid, that exhorts, that brings what you need to bless your life. So, isn't that amazing? How we have such a close, imminent, wonderful Holy Spirit, a special friend in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, the world has teddy bears to bring them comfort. But what do we have? We have the gift of Holy Spirit. That brings us comfort. That helps us.
With King James says, helper.
Helper. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, man. I mean, we need to visualize what we have a little bigger than just Holy Spirit. Because it just kind of, what is that? Well, it's the Comforter. So, man, we've got a special friend that we can interact with. Acts 1:8. This is Jesus speaking, and this is another wonderful aspect of what to expect with this Comforter, this special friend of ours, gift of Holy Spirit, the Christ in us. But his last words recorded in the Bible before he ascended up is verse 8, chapter 1 of Acts, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, including Ocean Beach, California. I kind of threw that in there.
Amen.
Yeah, we had a great time at Agape Now yesterday. Paula and Bob, Jeannie, and I were there. Beautiful day. And we were able to pray for folks and bless God's people there. So we're witnesses. We use that spirit within us to be the very best witnesses. So what a special friend that we have, this Christ in us, this Comforter, Christ in you. We are witnesses. We're powerful witnesses to preach and to teach so all men can be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay? Now, I'd like to close by reading the words from one of my favorite songs. It's an old classic, and it's about a special friend, Jesus Christ. And it's the Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You know, if we had 10,000 friends, that would be cool. But he's better than that. The lily of the valley and him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never what?
Leave me,
nor yet forsake me here while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, of nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face. And man, we got that coming any moment now, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back to gather us together. Wow. Where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. So yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you love us and provided for us a special friend, this wonderful, powerful gift of Holy Spirit, that we can walk with that, Father, understand that we have something very special within us that can communicate your love, your care, all that you would want for us to know. So we're really a blessed people, Father, and we thank you for providing such a wonderful gift and that we can have it for eternity. And we just look forward to the day that our Lord and Savior comes back so we can be face to face with him. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.